I'm Eve Abrams. This is Wetlands Radio, a series about coastal restoration. I'm in Grand Isle, way down at Louisiana's edge, where land meets water. And I'm following a spry 77-year-old named Jean Landry through Grand Isle's maritime forest.
We feed a lot of insects and a lot of birds, and we are that bed and breakfast that they need after that long flight across the Gulf of Mexico.
Jean is wearing a red bandana tied around her neck, shorts, and a t-shirt from the Nature Conservancy. That's the organization she's worked with for 24 years, stewarding this forest, the Lafitte Woods Preserve. Jean knows her plants.
This is a native live oak. Now, this is another plant that is native. This is American beautyberry, or French mulberry. Imagine these little clusters of purple berries being all over this bush. And we also have, thanks to the birds, some hagberries coming up. See the hummingbird? He's over there, that oak tree.
Jean says the roots of this forest help hold together Louisiana's last inhabited barrier island.
Even though we only have 1/10 of the forest left of what was here 200 years ago, it still is an important factor when it comes to a hurricane rolling through.
Jean sees the forest. She sees the trees. She sees how this entire coastal ecosystem, the forests, swamps, and marshes, how they all matter, not just for the migrating birds, but for the people. Jean wants our coastal ecosystem to be stronger, so that we can be stronger too.
Every mile of good, viable marsh can dampen the depth of a tidal surge by a foot. And I look at it on a personal side and say, when my daughter lived in New Orleans, when Hurricane Katrina hit, if there would have been 7 more miles of viable marsh between the Gulf of Mexico and where she lived in Gentilly, she wouldn't have had 9.5 feet of water in her house.
This is episode 8, Native Plants. In our last episode, we visited a restoration site, brand new land made by the state of Louisiana, to see how the vegetation planted there was creating a habitat. In this episode, we're going to meet people whose job it is to grow these plants. So, to understand plants' crucial role in coastal restoration, we need to go about 80 miles north of Grand Isle, to a plant nursery in Thibodaux, Louisiana.
So all the plants that we have, first, they're all native. So that means, you know, they're from this area historically, and all of these are supposed to be here, all providing a benefit.
This is Ashley Lambiot.
I am the native plant nursery coordinator for Bitnet.
Ashley's ponytail hangs out the back of her Bitnet baseball cap. That's the Barataria Terrebonne National Estuary Program, whose name you might recognize from our credits, because, full disclosure, Bitnet sponsors Wetlands Radio, and they are experts at growing native plants.
We're one of 28 national estuary programs. We're here to protect and preserve 4.2 million acres of the Barataria and Terrebonne estuaries.
That's Matt Benoit, also in Bitnet attire, a blue button-down shirt. Matt works with Ashley.
I'm the Habitat Restoration Manager for Bitnet. Our program, what me and Ashley do, is growing out trees for ridge restoration projects. We are the supplier for all the ridge restoration projects of the state.
In other words, Matt and Ashley raise trees for brand new land, the ridge restoration projects and the state's master plan. And the seeds for those trees? Matt and Ashley collect them.
It's like an adventure, going out and finding all these native plants and seeds. So this is a hackberry tree. When there's big bunches of them, generally you're just grabbing handfuls and then we get the twigs out later. Let's see, it looks like there's some good ones here.
Ashley and Matt pull handfuls of hackberry seeds off the branches so they fall into collection buckets.
Some people call it sugarberry. but the scientific name is Celtis levigata.
All the seeds that we use, we try to source as close to the coast as we can. A lot of our stuff comes from Grand Isle.
Remember Grand Isle and the Maritime Forest, which is essentially a forest by the coast? In a maritime forest, trees and bushes grow up next to the ocean, so they're used to strong wind and salt spray.
These mother trees we're collecting from, they experience all these weather conditions. They experience some saltwater work from storms pushing things in. They have all the winds off the storms from the Gulf. They're kind of more used to that habitat. So the thought is, genetically, they're passing some of that down to their offspring. And so the closer we can get to the coast, we want. So hopefully that lineage can live on and keep providing some of those benefits.
Back at the nursery, Ashley and Matt introduced me to what their seeds and acorns become.
This is a baby live oak. And of course, we're used to seeing that massive, iconic image, you know, the sprawling branches, those huge trunks. It all starts off as these tiny little seedlings, itty bitty.
Around 6,000 itty bitty live oaks, grown from acorns gathered on Grand Isle at the Maritime Forest. Some from trees who are hundreds of years old.
Being so long-lived is very important for placing them out on ridges and in these restoration projects. You need something there to hold things together. We're talking about those roots. They not only just hold things together, there's a whole microbiome that's associated with those roots. There's a little bacteria, there's fungi, all sorts of little things that we can't see with our eyes that they're making a little habitat underground that's improving the soil. It's helping the other trees around it. It's really working from the ground up, providing that important habitat for these ridges and marshes.
I wanted to see one of those habitats.
Want me to jump out and try to pull us in?
Just hold us in the front. Go ahead and lift the motor all the way up.
So I got in a boat with Matt and Ashley to check in on a ridge restoration site just west of Venice and just shy of where Louisiana drops into the Gulf.
So this, I presume, is Spanish Pass?
Yes.
Unlike marsh restoration projects, which are planted with grasses, Spanish Pass was planted with Matt and Ashley's baby trees 2 years ago. It's a harsh environment. There's no shade, no buffer from the strong wind. In the nursery, Matt and Ashley coddled their plants. Out here, they're on their own.
Yeah, there's no assistance. Once these get planted in the ground, no one's coming back behind and watering. It's all up to Mother Nature. Okay, let's see what we can see.
This is brand new land.
You know, when you first get here, it's just completely bare, and you know, they just pumped it in. It's just straight sand. But down on the edges, they tended to have some of this existing vegetation, and the plants seem to do better over here.
Matt walks from the sandy inland portion of the restoration toward the edge, where a hardy, salt-tolerant grass called rozocaine has put down roots in a big way. There's a lot of rozocaine. And here, the trees that Matt and Ashley raised are flourishing.
Look at this oak right here. And this thing's 5 feet tall versus the ones out there that are only maybe 2 feet at most. And look at how much growth it's got on it.
And it's just doing better because it's protected by the rozocaine, you think?
Probably protected, probably because there's already vegetation here. There's probably more water, a water table in here. You get roots, you got more organic matter that's here versus that's just straight sand. So they'll survive in there, but they take a while to kind of get going. But this soil is already much better, and so they did a lot better.
In other words, new plants grow better around other plants.
100%.
Yeah.
Look at that.
There's another one right there.
Yay. Oh, look at this. All right. So this is a red mulberry. It's got several nice shoots coming up. We got nice new green leaves coming in. That's phenomenal. And then it looks like we have a hackberry right next to it. Yay, plants. Beauty berry, of course, looks so nice. Hey, woohoo! There's fruit on this mulberry, it's flowering. So, I mean, that's the goal right there. So, these are the mulberry flowers, which will turn into the fruits. And so these are an amazing resource for all the birds coming through, different animals. And also, this is a new seed source for more plants, so they can make this process of going forward and putting out new plants. Obviously, if it's surviving here, hopefully the offspring will as well, and there will be even more mulberry. I just can't get over how big the wax myrtle is.
This one.
Oh!
Two little satellite trees coming up.
Yeah! They're the pioneers. They're forging the way in a very harsh environment. They're doing a great job. Yeah. Look at it!
Next on Wetlands Radio, oyster reefs.
We're putting the components together to hand it over to Mother Nature because she knows the right things to do.
That's next time on Wetlands Radio. Wetlands Radio was reported and produced by me, Eve Abrams. Editing help from Rosemary Westwood, Rachel Berg, Anne Gislason, Marie Lovejoy, Garrett Hazelwood, Melody Chang, and Lane Kaplan-Levinson. Original music was written and performed by Greg Schatz. Mastering by Evan Satanovich. Thanks to our partners, BitNEP, the Barataria Terrebonne National Estuary Program, and WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. Funding was provided by BitNEP through the Environmental Protection Agency's National Estuary Program. To hear all 12 episodes in Wetlands Radio, head to wwno.org or bitnep.org. That's btnep.org. Thanks for listening.